Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of June, recording at, it's now 10:20 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Long day. Okay, these stock markets. First, the main factor to mention is that we have seen a considerable amount of technical deterioration. Now, most of that occurred on Thursday and Friday. But today saw additional weakness. Asia began to soften. That had really shrugged off Thursday's downward moves. Most of the Asian markets, at any rate, had shrugged off Thursday's decline on Wall Street, but not Friday's, and that's hardly surprising overall. Now, Asia, I think, will be able to bounce back faster than other markets, but in the short term, it's likely to remain under pressure. Now, the European markets had a tough day in here, and declines of 1% were not that uncommon at all. And the biggest hit, though, was the Swedish OMX index. That was down 2.21%, but that had been closed yesterday. On the chart, though, what you actually see is a market that had performed really quite well and had closed on a high, a new a high for the rally on Friday, and then had, I beg your pardon, it was closed on Friday, and therefore it had a new high on Thursday and a very big downward dynamic here today. The European markets probably closed weaker than they might have on the fear that Wall Street would get another significant sell-off here today. It did not. It looked like that might develop at one stage, and then Wall Street just picked up a bit. And it still closed down on the day, but it was only 7 on the Dow, and the S&P less than a point, and 8 on the NASDAQ composite. But there's no doubt in looking at any of the charts, unquestionably, we have seen some considerable technical damage here. There are a few markets that are holding out, such as India remains remarkably resilient, was up again today, but I don't think it can continue to resist this trend generally. The fact that Wall Street closed with just very slight gains here today may lead to some steadying tomorrow in the European markets in particular on the openings, and maybe we get a little bounce in here over the next few days, but I don't expect much on the upside. But let's put it this way, the signals have been clearly bearish, and what would be required would be some quite clear upward dynamics. Now, I don't expect that. I would expect at best a feeble rally attempt and then lower levels. One searches for reasons on this, and you can argue it backwards and forwards, but there's little doubt in my mind that the main short-term factor in here is the crude oil price, which had pushed up, I think, as high as 60.90 at one point today before coming off a bit. That probably helped Wall Street to reduce its declines overall. And currently in after-hours trading, oil's trading at $60.22, so that is a little lower still. But nevertheless, it's a sobering factor for investors to consider oil above $60 a barrel. And while it remains there, I would think that the upside for stock markets is really strictly limited. Now, I don't feel, though, that oil will be able to maintain this move above $60 for very long. And I covered that in a piece that you'll find in Comment of the Day, but it's the lack of the there's no backwardation. There's actually a contango that shows that a lot of this demand is undoubtedly due to speculative accumulation, and we can expect a number of stops underneath the market, so it wouldn't take too much. I would certainly think that if crude oil were to come below, say, $58, that it would hit a self-feeding number of stops, or in other words, it would start to hit initial stops and then trigger more stops. The distillate contracts are lagging. That's gasoline and heating oil. They're not lagging by a great deal, but so often in the past, I'm talking about the last 3, 4 years, on the upside for crude oil, that gasoline had been a lead indicator, hitting new first of, among the first to hit new highs, often with quite a good lead over crude oil. It's not doing so. It's actually lagging. Heating oil is closer to matching crude, but it's not. So that suggests that maybe it's going to be difficult to maintain this current break over 60. The last factor I mentioned were the was the performance of oil shares, although we can put a lot of that down to the weakness that we're seeing right now in stock markets generally, which I expect to continue. And I think that the US indices will certainly test their April lows, and there's got to be a good chance that they'll take them out. Now, therefore, I would be careful in here. I don't think this is a good time to be putting money into stock markets. It's really a time to be taking money off the table. I will almost certainly stick with my Asian positions in here. I did reduce speculative exposure when I closed out what was a reasonably sized Nikkei futures position, but I'm not inclined to do a great deal of selling in here. I would expect things like the JP Morgan Fleming India Fund to come back a bit, but and I would expect the Investec Global Energy Fund to come back a bit, but I'm not really interested in selling those out. I would rather play the downside through the short positions that I have in futures contracts. And those, just in a quick review, the biggest one is probably the Italian MIB index. That was down 1% in here today, or 323 points. The next biggest, or certain, or almost as big, I would think, is the NASDAQ short position. That was down again today, closing at 1506 on the September contract. I'm also short the Swiss SMI. That's a fairly big position by virtue of the index level, 6,191. Next biggest would be the German DAX market, and it's my smallest position is in the UK FTSE 100 index. Those are all short positions that I've just mentioned, and I said I'd protect those within the money stops. Not sorry, well, they may well be in the money stops by the time I put them in. I haven't done so yet, which is a little careless here. I've been distracted by other things, but I had said, I think on Friday, that I would be putting them in over the highs, and I can probably do a little better than that now. So some of them will be in the money stops. Now, in terms of currencies, let me just get a fix on where the dollar index had actually closed in here, because it was it was off earlier on in the day. Yes, it did close down 88.45. Now, it has been running into resistance really up around the just below the 89.50 level, up around 89.40. And I did mention repeatedly in these audios the lateral and roundophobia resistance at the 90 level, and I think this will be a level that will prove difficult to clear for the dollar. I certainly don't think it can do it in the very short term, and it would have to range for a while longer and then start to show some upward dynamics, I think, to have a chance of clearing that. And there's also a possibility that the dollar could be running into not just short-term resistance here, but medium-term resistance at this level, and that this level could send the dollar back down for an eventual retest of its lows, which are down closer to the 80 level on the index. At this stage, it's still too soon to say, though, that the dollar's rally has definitely peaked, but it does. The most important thing to say is just to repeat briefly the point that it does have an extremely significant hurdle here at 90, and it has lost momentum beneath that level. Now, in the precious metal markets, despite the dollar coming off a little bit, they didn't do too much in here, but again, gold had been soft earlier on the day and is trading here after hours at 440.15. That's not bad. Platinum trading here at 895.5. Again, that's not bad. And silver was down a bit today, 722.5. And palladium not doing much. I am rolling my July silver and my July palladium. They're expiring, I have to roll them forward tomorrow or allow those positions to expire, and I've left instructions to roll them forward. Elsewhere, the biggest disappointment in here today for me, and no doubt some of you, is that soybeans fell like a stone here, and they were doing quite well early on in the day. The November contract got up to a high of 775. I'm awfully glad I didn't pick up more. I was thinking of picking up more if it sort of eased off in what looked like a normal consolidation, but it came down with a thump here today, closing down 50 at 715 and three quarters. That stopped me out at a small profit. I had too loose and in the money stop. And the factor here was a report that more moisture would occur in the growing areas than expected. Agricultural commodities are always a tough sector to play because they can get such sharp moves on weather announcements. Agricultural commodities are just about the only sector of markets where the fundamentals can literally change overnight. And that's what appears to have happened here. So given that downward dynamic, I'm not interested in moving back in on soybeans in a hurry. What I wouldn't mind seeing is a little further sell-off and then some sort of evidence that it's oversold and beginning to firm again. But as I've said all along, these are always a weather punt, and this is an interesting time of the year for the grain and bean crops, and they are historically cheap, it's the action can be pretty choppy, as we've seen today. Now, I'm away tomorrow giving my presentation on behalf of the Futures Industry Association and the Futures Options Association. I will be getting back into the office sort of late tomorrow afternoon, but not in time to do the comment of the day and the audio, but you'll be in the capable hands of Owen Tracy, and I will be back making my own contribution on Wednesday. All the best.